This evening we'll be reading together Psalm 89, the first 29 verses of Psalm 89. Considering this evening the fruit of faithfulness. Last week, Sunday night, we heard a sermon on the fruit of joy and how that tied in with the fruit of the Spirit. And this evening I wanted to just preach one more sermon in that connection as well as we've been looking at what it means to know God in men's Bible study. And one of the aspects we considered was the attributes of God and knowing Him in terms of His faithfulness as well and His unchanging nature. And I thought that would tie in well with Psalm 89 as we bring that out. The first 29 verses then of Psalm 89 on page 579 in your pew Bibles. This is the inspired word of God. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon, sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said, I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. I will also appoint him, my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. Thus far God's word this evening, may he add his blessing to it. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, how would you characterize a faithful person? What qualities or what traits would you say most epitomizes or best exemplifies a faithful person? Would you name such traits as dependability, reliability, trustworthiness? And to take this a step further, who do you know in life that best represents a faithful person? Would you characterize your parents as faithful people? Is your spouse a faithful person? And what about you? Would you say that, yes, I am a faithful person? While we may know some people who match those qualifications, And while we ourselves might also be considered a faithful person, the problem is this: no one in the world is always faithful. We know that. No one is perfectly reliable and perfectly and wholly trustworthy. We are all humans, we are all sinners, and we are all susceptible to failure, to breaking our word, to falling short of expectations, to failing to deliver on our promises, and as a result, at the very least, to leave others around us disappointed by that and frustrated with our shortcomings. And on a more serious note, depending, of course, on what we're talking about, our lack of faithfulness can do much worse than merely disappoint. Our lack of faithfulness can actually hurt others. It can wound them deeply. It can tear families apart. It can destroy relationships. It can leave us empty and in misery. And that's why we can be eternally grateful that we both know and serve the Lord our God. For in Him we have a God who has always been, always is, and will forever remain faithful and true. So this evening we'll consider God's faithfulness, His dependability, as well as how God's faithfulness is also to be reflected in our lives as we are children of the Heavenly Father. So we see this evening that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, cultivates faithfulness in our hearts and lives, again, as an aspect, as an outgrowth of the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit cultivates faithfulness in our lives. Notice 2 points with me: the example of God's faithfulness, and then the practice. The example and the practice. Just a moment ago, we used words like loyalty and dependability and reliability to define faithfulness. We could also add to that list words like honesty and even integrity, because a faithful person, a trustworthy person, is one who is like that because he or she is ethical and honest in every aspect of life. And while the Bible speaks of various people who are faithful, the supreme example, of course, is our God. God is fully and perfectly faithful. He never fails. I think of a passage like Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. And keeping in mind this time in Israel's history, they're a young nation, sort of like a young nation, newly redeemed, and they're getting to know their God, and God comes to them with these words: "Know, therefore, the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Think of that familiar verse from Lamentations. We'll be singing that in a few moments. Lamentations 3:23. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful." He is faithful. And the simple fact is, all of Scripture, every word of it, every vowel and consonant and syllable testifies to the unending, absolute faithfulness of God. And the passages we have in the Bible either speak directly about God's faithfulness, or in a way it shows us an example of his faithfulness. Whether we're reading about creation, or our salvation, or safety from an enemy, or of our deliverance from temptation, of our forgiveness from sins, or maybe our refuge in times of trouble, or our hope for eternal life, every page of Scripture is a testimony to God's abiding faithfulness. And I hope you heard that earlier when we read this psalm together. We just read a portion of it, but that theme of faithfulness clearly echoed through. Psalm 89 begins with that wonderful declaration: "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations." So God's faithfulness is reason to sing. It's something to celebrate. And as the psalm goes on to say too, it's something to tell others about. It's something to tell our neighbors about. It's good news. Like God's love, his faithfulness belongs to his very being. It's part of the essence of who he is, his identity. To know God is to know His faithfulness. To know God is to experience His faithfulness. Notice what that says in verse 8. Your faithfulness surrounds you. And we often think of the Lord being wrapped in the garment of light, right? Here it's as if He's wrapped in a garment of faithfulness. It's the cloak about Him. It's how we recognize Him where He goes. That's our God, right? God is faithful in all that He is and all that He does. And what's more, God's faithfulness isn't limited. It isn't bound. It isn't restricted to the world. Verse 2 says, you have established faithfulness in heaven itself. In a sense, that means that God's faithfulness transcends the earth. In a sense, it's not of the earth, is it? And it's not subject to the changing whims and fancies of our ever-changing world. We heard that in James 1, right? God does not change like shifting shadows. And that's a wonderful consolation and comfort to us as God's people. Furthermore, this psalm shows that God's faithfulness is promoted. It's supported. His faithfulness is advanced by His power and love. You know, that's a rare and effective combination, isn't it? Providence and power. Providence and power working together, advancing God's faithfulness. This means that when God makes promises to His people, as God did here in this psalm, that He would establish the throne of King David, that God is the power of heaven and earth at His disposal to bring about that promise, to make it happen, to bring that promise to fruition. And this means that nothing can happen in this world. No unforeseen problem can arise that would in any way pose a threat or a danger or a hindrance to God's plan. Nothing can deter God's faithfulness. And when we see Jesus Christ coming as the Son of David, and think of Jesus Christ at the end of his mission here on earth, ascending into heaven and sitting on the throne at the right hand of God in glory, we say, amen. God is faithful. His power, His providence, working together to advance His cause, keeping His word, keeping His promise. Another aspect of God's faithfulness, this is actually a fourth aspect. If you're keeping score, the first part was that His faithfulness is part of His identity. Then His faithfulness is established in heaven. Thirdly, His faithfulness is supported by His power and love. And fourthly, notice that His faithfulness is not an object simply to be admired. It's not an object like a trophy on the shelf. Rather, God's faithfulness, we could say, is personal. It's active. It's alive. What I mean is this. We see and we taste, we touch His faithfulness every day. Or maybe you could change that around and say, God's faithfulness touches us every day, doesn't it? In a sense, we see it, we taste it, we touch it, we interact with it on a daily basis. His faithfulness literally reaches out into our daily activities. His faithful hand, His right arm, strong to save. We see it simply in things such as the sun that greets us each day. This morning I was up early and just the beauty of the sunrise. Another day to live, another day to worship God on Sunday. What a beautiful thing it is to greet the day, to know that our God is the God of the sunrise, of the sunset. As the rain falls, it's a sign of God's faithfulness. The birds singing, the crops growing, food in our pantries, strength to do the work. The Lord fills our lives and homes with His goodness. We taste the sweetness of God's faithfulness every day. And this is one of the reasons why that faithfulness is something we proclaim to the next generation. It's something we tell our children and our grandchildren, that God is good. He's been good to us. He's been good to Grandpa and Grandpa. Look at how He's been good to great-grandpa and grandpa, right? He's so good to us. These are all the ways that God is faithful. And it's something we tell and retell to the next generation because, in essence, God's faithfulness is a sum and substance of the gospel, isn't it? His faithfulness was good news to Old Testament Israel. the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, was their God. He was the God who saves. He's the God who leads, who provides, who protects, who dwells with his people, who goes before them, who comes behind them, who stands with them. This God is faithful. He loves his people with an unending, undying love. And the last, fifth aspect of his faithfulness, undoubtedly one of the most glorious and encouraging aspects of God's faithfulness, is that he doesn't break his oath. He doesn't break his word. Verse 30 through 34 declares this. Even though God's people might forsake God's ways, he will not take his love from us, nor will he ever betray his faithfulness. You know, we call to mind the many instances where God's people hardened their hearts against him, when he rebuked them for being a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, and he chastened them for being stubborn and rebellious and disobedient. Time and time again, they tested his patience. They tried his faithfulness. And yet God remained true to his word, true to his promises. He would not destroy his people. Rather, from them, he would bring a Savior. And for them, he would bring about a king, the true son of David, who would sit on the throne forever and ever. And that is something we could take note of as well, that even the chastening hand of God, even the disciplining hand of God, there is no inconsistency. There is no contradiction in terms of his faithfulness. One author put it like this, God's chastening hand does not obscure his faithfulness. Rather, as Hebrews 12 teaches, and as we should well know, God's chastening hand is the clearest indication of his steadfast love, of his faithfulness, because he will not let us go. Psalm 119, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So even in times of chastening, in times of trials, in times of testing, when God breaks us down, God is faithful. Even when we waver in our faith, when we stray from the pathway of righteousness, God is ever faithful. And those images come to mind in the Bible of God like a loving father, like that caring shepherd. He goes out after us, and in his grace and in his tender mercy, he brings us back to himself time and time again. What a joy, what a relief to know for sinners like us that God is faithful, and that God's faithfulness is not dependent upon our faithfulness. God's faithfulness isn't conditioned by our faithfulness, as God has proven in the past. He will bring about his perfect will and purposes in our lives, in spite of ourselves, very many times. God will see to it. God will keep his word. He will remain true to his promises, even when we cannot. So have you thought about that lately? Have you given thought to God's faithfulness? And has that thought filled your soul with joy and gladness and thanksgiving, that you would celebrate it the way the psalmist does and sing for joy and praise him for that? If not, begin that this week in your prayer life as well, praying that you would be aware of and made aware of God's faithfulness in every aspect of your life. So we're called, even as we sung a little while ago, to take inventory of our life, to look around you, count your blessings, name them, write them down one by one, and pray over that list, thanking God for each in every blessing. And even at that, you and I will only begin to grasp the great, wondrous faithfulness of our God as he shows his care and oversight over things both big and small, as we see God's promises being fulfilled to us each new day. So that is the example of faithfulness. And now secondly, we consider the practice of faithfulness. In other words, now that we've considered God and his faithfulness and how he so faithfully and lovingly deals with us, his creatures, we ask, what does that mean for us in a sense, what does that then require of us as God's children, saved by grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, and now that the Spirit of the living God, the ever-faithful God, lives in us, how do we show forth the fruit of the Spirit in regards to faithfulness? We do this in a number of ways. In the first place, the fruit of faithfulness should be evident in the fact that we are obedient, that we are obedient to God. And you think about it, that is one of the purest and simplest forms and expressions of faithfulness in our lives. When we determine to obey the Word of God and we follow the ways of God, we are in fact being faithful to the God of our creation and the God of our salvation. And think about the way that was with Jesus Christ, God's own Son. He was faithful to his God, faithful to his Father every moment of every day and at every juncture of his earthly ministry. He obeyed every one of God's commandments in thought, word, and deed, perfectly, completely. He was perfectly faithful. Obviously, we can't obey God with that kind of perfection, and to be sure, God knows that very well. But that's why God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sake, for our sins, to save us from hell, to save us from our unfaithful, law-breaking ways. But now that we've been saved, God has given to us a new heart and a renewed mind that we might now be transformed and renewed more and more after the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that now Christ might more and more come to dwell in us. And we should then detect within our hearts an ever-increasing delight in the ways of God and an ever-increasing desire to follow the pathway of righteousness, the pathway of faithfulness, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, as the prophet said. And the more we know God, right, the closer we should want to walk with God, and the more we will love God and the things of God. And as we talked about this morning, the more and more then our desires will change as they too be renewed within us, so that we can sing even with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation day and night." Only someone with a renewed heart and soul could ever sing that song, saying, "I love your law because I delight in keeping the ways of God." So personal obedience is one of the fruits of faithfulness. There's another sign or outworking of the fruit of faithfulness, and it is this. It's in the aspect of fidelity. Fidelity. You see, fidelity and faithfulness go hand in hand. Now, fidelity, boys and girls, that is a word that means being loyal or yes, being faithful, being true. Fidelity has to do with being honest and virtuous, trustworthy. And there are a couple of ways we can understand this and even speak about fidelity. First of all, we're to always speak the truth. You might say fidelity to our word, always being true to our word. God is a God of truth. And Jesus Christ is revealed to us as the way and the truth and the life. Jesus himself is the truth incarnate. And so as people of the truth, as those who have the word of truth in us, and as those who've been baptized into the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the truth of God should always be in our hearts and on our lips. And the Bible tells us God hates lying lips, but he delights in truth. And we are called by God's people to despise falsehood and embrace the truth. And among other things, and we should know and be known by others as those who are true to our word. True to our word. And that's a rare quality today, to find someone who actually does what he says and says what he does. And the beauty of it is there's no shame in the truth, is there? There's no hiding the truth. There's no secrets, nothing to be embarrassed about. In fact, Jesus says the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free from the lies and the treachery and the deceit of Satan himself. And so we show the fruit of faithfulness, not only then by doing what we're told, by being obedient, but by speaking the truth in love and gentleness, and advancing the truth of God over against the deceit and falsehood of Satan that we hear all around us in the world. But there is a second aspect of fidelity as well that relates to faithfulness, and it is this. We're to show the fruit of faithfulness by demonstrating fidelity, in our actions, in our lives, in our relationships. And if fidelity is to be understood as being loyal and dependable and worthy of trust, there's no greater place to show the fruit of faithfulness than right here in our own marriages, in our homes, in our church, in the Christian community, and in the communities in which we live. You know, think in terms of marriage, fidelity. Fidelity has to do with keeping our vows, keeping our promises which we made to one another as husband and wife and to God. And here in church, we also have vows of membership. We promise to love God, to serve God. We promise to be a blessing to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, to come to church regularly on the Lord's Day. And we have a responsibility before God to be faithful, to our calling and duty as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as an employer, and as an employee. So no matter what our calling in life is, no matter what our vocation, God calls us to faithfulness wherever He's placed us. So are we a faithful people? Are we someone, as you look at your various callings and vocations in life, all that you do, all the different hats that you wear, are you someone who keeps your word? Are you someone who shows the faithfulness of God in your actions, in your words, and how you treat others? Are you someone who can be relied upon and depended upon to keep your word? Can you be trusted? Do you keep your promises, your oaths, your pledges? Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we readily confess that no, we do not. We might even say far from it. We're a sinful people. We've broken our vows. No one here is perfectly faithful in any part of life. As spouses, we've broken our marriage vows. If not indeed, certainly we've done so in unfaithful thoughts, unfaithful emotions, unfaithful affections. Likewise, no parent, no matter how responsible and diligent he or she may be, can ever say, well, I was a perfect parent, that I carried out every duty to a T, every moment of every day. Even the very best of parents would honestly admit that we've failed miserably at times, and the fact that any of our children grow up to know the Lord and is a tribute to His grace, not to our great parenting. And who among us can say that we are always faithful to keep our word and to do what we promise to do and carry out instructions obediently? Again, if the truth be told, we are far from a faithful people. Our life is marred by infidelity, and it hurts, and it shows. We all have been unfaithful to God and to others around us every day. And yet this is where we see the power and the beauty of God's grace. For each of us is called to look to Christ. Each of us is called to look to Christ because He alone is faithful and true. He alone, as we heard the greeting this evening, is the faithful witness. He alone is the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, we can't learn faithfulness by imitation, can we? In trying to follow the example of God's faithfulness or trying to be faithful like Jesus. No, all we can do is pray that God in His grace, that He might save us in His Son Jesus Christ and then renew us and transform us by His Holy Spirit. And then as God would mold us and shape us after His image, He might generally mold us and shape us into faithful people that we would aspire and desire faithfulness, that we would genuinely strive to be faithful and to demonstrate fidelity in our relationship with God that would come by grace in His strength. We could show this fidelity then in our marriage and in our parenting and in our workplace, no matter where we are, because God's Spirit is alive and at work within us. And that as we are trying to be faithful in every aspect of our being, they would see that our faithfulness is nothing but the image of God's faithfulness within us. And we should pray that God's Spirit would be hard at work within us, sanctifying us, bringing our faith to maturity and completion, that our lives would be that sweet-smelling sacrifice before the Lord. So congregation, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, let's heed the call to faithfulness and the strength God provides. For God, our Father, is always and ever faithful, and so we who are called His children ought to be faithful like our Father as well. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your faithfulness. For Your faithfulness to us and to all generations. We thank You, Father, that in the pages of Scripture we might see Your faithfulness so beautifully revealed before us, as You have been faithful in every aspect of our existence, as You have shown faithfulness from the first to the last pages of Scripture. You are the God of our creation and our redemption and our sanctification and our glorification. Father, we exalt You for that, and we pray, Lord, that each day as we live our lives here on earth, that we would experience Your faithfulness anew, that as Your hand reaches into our lives, we might feel and taste and touch Your faithfulness and give thanks to You for being such a personal God, a close God, an intimate God who provides for us in every way imaginable and even in countless ways beyond what we see each day. Thank You for that, Father. And now bless us as we sing our song of praise and response, and as we leave this place to go into this world, Lord, that we might live and walk before You and to be holy and to praise You for Your faithfulness each day. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.